Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, May 13th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mklanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Illegal foreign currency dealers say proposed bond notes are likely to boost their shady business.
Some of the dealers told Studio 7 that they are likely to take advantage of local people's discontent over the bond notes to make maximum profits from selling and buying the United States dollar.
Zimbabwe's central bank governor says Zimbabwe is being used by some companies as a hunting ground for the United States dollar.
You know what? What makes me disappointed, depressing, is that everyone is making money from this country, but one doesn't want to keep his money in this country. You want to take it away. So Zimbabwe is used as a barrier to change the economy.
A Zimbabwean gender activist says the country's ailing economy is complicating the fight against domestic violence.
What this economic problem does is people put the hatred amongst themselves and they suffer.
Residents of Shitungwiza clash with police.
And will boxing champion Charles Manyuchi feature in any fight in Zimbabwe?
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Some illegal foreign currency dealers in Mashingo City say the proposed introduction of bond notes within the next 2 months is likely to boost their black market activities that were almost crippling the adoption of multiple currencies following the dumping of the worthless Zimbabwean dollar in 2009. Our reporter Gandri Maramba has more details.
Some of the dealers told Studio 7 that they are likely to take advantage of local people's discontent over the bond notes to make maximum profits from selling and buying the United States dollar, which may almost vanish from banks after the introduction of the coupons. Andrew Gumisai, who operates along Robert Mugabe Street in the city, said he was happy because the bond notes could be similar to the defunct Zimbabwe dollar, as they are likely to stimulate the black market exchange rate. The forex dealers have been struggling to make ends meet as Zimbabweans were accessing multiple currencies at local banks until recently, when some of them almost ran out of the United States dollar. Some of the foreign currency dealers made a fortune before the adoption of multiple currencies. Black market dealer Albert Hashu said the bond notes will mean that people who want to travel to other countries to import goods will have no choice but to get foreign currency from them.
We are waiting to look forward to see the wonderful new days which are yet to come. We welcome the introduction of bond notes. To us, it's a good move since we have not been recognized now, because you see, everyone was now using forex, so it was difficult for us to get money through the foreign currency exchange deals. So now, if the bond notes are introduced, automatically we will make a lot of money. This I can promise you, because everyone will be coming to us in need of the much needed foreign currency, especially in terms of US dollar and rands. Even if you go to the flea market there, those guys cannot go and purchase their commodities using the bond notes, so they will always come back to us. And I don't think the 1-to-1 rate which they are saying will even be able to survive, because we'll be selling money. That's what I can say.
Tofane Chobo, another forex dealer operating at Chicken Inn food court in the city, concurred, adding that they are eagerly waiting for the bond notes.
For us, we think it's an opportunity to make money like we used to do during the 2008 era. And it's a blessing in disguise for us. Why? Because even if bond notes may not be used as a legal term, as the current Zimbabwean dollar, just like the Zimbabwean dollar. But people also come to us when they want to buy things outside the country with their bond notes, and we change money for them. And also the banks, there are cash shortages. So still the good old days will come back to us.
Central Bank Governor Mr. John Mangujia says the bond notes are designed to promote exports in a nation facing serious economic problems. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, this is Gand Maramba.
Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's central bank governor says Zimbabwe is being used by some companies as a hunting ground for the United States dollar. John Mangunjika says Zimbabweans implicated in the Panama Papers scandal, in which some business executives have been stashing funds in offshore accounts, would soon be asked to account for their money in those accounts. He tells Studio 7 they will only pardon those involved if Zimbabwe will benefit from such moves.
I want Zimbabweans to continue engaging. Since we have agreed that the export incentive scheme is important, we are saying, how do we reward the exporters? What we are saying is there is also that we are not going to draw down from this facility and put the money straight into the account as US dollars. We know what is happening to it. You saw, you guys, you are the ones who are listed the Panama Papers. You see what is happening? So you want to lose value from a facility.
And talking about those Panama Papers, Dr. Mangujika, what is happening? Are there any investigations that are currently underway? What is the way forward?
The way forward is very simple. Where we believe that there was externalization and it was illegal, definitely there will be some investigation. Where we believe that it was externalization, it was going to be illegal, it means such a one we just also advise would become an issue of morality, whether it is morally good to take money from an economy that is going through this period of time, or whether are you not fast-tracking the withdrawal of funds from the NOSO account. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense. Yes, people now say that, you know, we are taking time to do the transfer. Yet other people are taking the money out of the country for not productive issues. So people need to also to think that which money are we using. These are money from the exporters of tobacco and gold is being abused. So it's an abuse. So those are the way it's not illegal. But the realization, we're still going to discuss with the people. We still call them for a cup of tea. So we also know their motives.
There are some who are saying maybe you should pardon them if they agree to bring back whatever they've externalized. Is this something that will be on the table?
Yes, we've said many times when I joined this bank that was there. We said long back that let's play ball as Zimbabweans. This is our country, and let's not remove resources from this country because it won't grow. You know what? What makes me disappointed, the blessing, is that everyone is making money from this country, but one doesn't want to keep his money in this country. He won't take it away. So Zimbabwe is used as a barrier to change the economy. Because people bring their products, maybe whichever currency they do, and they take the money out of the country as US dollars. So we are fishing ground for US dollars. You know, I'm deeply concerned about that behavior. So if the money is there, if they bring us money back, yes, we'll be so happy because, you know, it liquefies the economy. And we just tell them that, no, guys, we don't want to do it. They should have also that humane to know that what they're doing. It's not so good. These are things that we should spend more time on, as opposed to say that, why are you trying to help exporters? I think we are spending more time on things that I don't believe to be very material. We need to say, how do we move going forward?
That was John Mangunjika speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Twenty people were arrested in Chitungwiza today when some residents and dismissed council workers who wanted to hold a meeting with local government minister Xavier Kasukwere clashed with police. Chitungwiza Residents Trust chairperson Marvelous Kumalo says Kasukwere was expected to visit Chitungwiza to discuss with councillors an internal audit report which is said to have unearthed rampant corruption in the allocation of stands. The audit allegedly implicated some top council officials. Kumalo tells Studio 7 those arrested are detained at St. Mary's Police Station, but we could not ascertain whether they were still in custody at the time of going on air.
The residents of Chitungwiza and some of the employees, of the former employees of Chitungwiza municipality that were dismissed last year without, unfortunately, receiving their full benefits and salaries, thronged the Chitungwiza municipality head office today, awaiting for the minister to address them. But unfortunately, before the minister came and before the residents and the former employees heard that the minister was no longer able to come, anti-riot police arrived at the scene and started instructing the gathered residents and former employees of council to disperse. But the residents and the employees could not get the instructions from the police before getting way forward from their respective leadership. So this ended up causing some form of disturbances where we then had 20 of those who had gathered being arrested.
Had the minister asked to meet with you today?
Yeah, we had it yesterday. I think preparations were being made within the town yesterday for his planned visit today. And it actually came out in the newspapers today that the minister was scheduled to visit Chitungwiza municipality.
That was Marvelous Khumalo, Chitungwiza Residence Trust chairperson, speaking with Studio 7 from Chitungwiza. Police spokesperson Assistant Commissioner Cherit Charamba was not reachable for comment as she was not responding to Studio 7 calls. The campaign against gender-based violence in Zimbabwe has faced numerous obstacles in the past, but there is a new and even more serious challenge, the failing economy. VOA reporter Ntungamili Nkomo has more.
Civil society organizations and the government have tried over the years to eradicate domestic violence with little notable success. And now the obtaining economic challenges are complicating the campaign. According to activist Nyarimasha Mombe, executive director of Tege Life International and a fellow at the National Endowment for Democracy, speaking at a domestic violence seminar convened by the Center for International Private Enterprise here in Washington, D.C. yesterday, Ms. Mashaya Mombe said there was a symbiotic relationship between gender violence and the economy. And in the case of Zimbabwe, the poor state of the economy means that most women are vulnerable.
What this economic problem does is people put the hatred amongst themselves and they suffer instead of actually holding the government and the people that are responsible and are supposed to be actually responsible for this meltdown accountable.
Mashaya Mombe said the starting point in fighting gender violence should be the improvement of the economy and the empowerment of women and the girl child.
It begins when we invest in young people as well, because it's important for us to empower the young people with the rights and the knowledge of the civic engagement, civic rights.
Speaking at the same event, U.S. State Department Coordinator for the Western Hemisphere, Susan May, agreed with Mashaya Mombe that many women find themselves at the mercy of men because they lack economic independence. She recalled how she, working with the U.S. Department, engaged women in Papua New Guinea and empowered them to improve their lives.
We brought in women at least once a quarter from the United States to Papua New Guinea to do a week or two, depending what we could get, of workshops focused on economic empowerment. So they would do training on, you know, basic financial literacy, how to start and grow a business, how to use social media to market your business, all of those kinds of things.
Another panelist, Jumaine Sadiki of the Institute of Peace, talked about the challenges faced by women in Pakistan. For Studio 7 in Washington, I'm Ntungamili Nkomo.
In a related development, 21 women and girls who were allegedly abused in Kuwait after they were trafficked to that country by employment agents and later forced to perform menial jobs have arrived in Harare after getting air tickets from the Young Women's Christian Association International, led by Nyaradzai Gumbonjanda. The chairman of the Portfolio Committee on Parliamentary Affairs and ZANU-PF lawmaker Kindness Paraza says the women and girls are part of a group of more than 200 women that are believed to have been trafficked to Kuwait on the guise of getting greener pastures. Some of them were forced to become commercial sex workers. Paraza tells Studio 7 some government officials, medical experts and non-profit organizations were at the airport to welcome the women and girls.
We've organized a similar welcome party like the one which we held the last time. A couple of ministers are going to be there, especially the Minister of Foreign Affairs and officials from the Ministry of Labour, Social Welfare, and the Deputy Minister is going to be there because the Minister is away with the President in Gutu. But we expect, as usual, medical personnel are also going to be in attendance, and also the security sector for them to have some kind of a debrief from the women to tell them what has been happening to them.
And also, we understand that there's been a mix-up on the issue of who secured the tickets for these young girls and women to come back to Zimbabwe this time around. Can you just update us on that?
Yes, we are so grateful this time around to the Young Women Christian Association, which is led by Nyaradai Kumbonjanda, who is a Zimbabwean based in the diaspora. And through her association and the others like yourself there as the media, you managed to arrange the tickets for the 21 who are coming today. And also, there are three tickets also. In all, there were 25 tickets. So the three tickets remaining, we are going to assist others who are still coming in.
That was lawmaker Kindness Paradza. In Harare, some of the women and girls arrived in the country 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, the head of the Young Women's Christian Association International, Nyaradzai Kumbonjanda, says she was inspired to help source the tickets for the women and girls in Kuwait after hearing the story here on Studio 7.
I'm pleased that the Young Women's Christian Association is an organization that is in Zimbabwe, that we decided that as women of Zimbabwe, as women in the world, we need to stand together. We need to support the efforts of other Zimbabwean women and the efforts of our government to address the issue of human trafficking. But to be practical about it, we felt it was not enough for us to just continue to raise awareness. Awareness is important, it's critical, but it is not sufficient unless we can prevent and unless all the girls who are trafficked are able to come back home. This is what drove me, and also that as a Zimbabwean woman myself and as a mother of a young girl, and also in my mandate as the African Union Goodwill Ambassador, I felt that it was critical that I stand up and be able to find some practical solutions and work together with others in making this possible.
What inspired you to make that move? Plenty of people read such touching stories, but they never get moved. What inspired you?
What inspired me essentially was an appeal that I saw on GoFundMe, an appeal that said, can you just, anybody out there, give your $5, give your $10, let's raise a ticket for one girl. And I felt, yes, actually we can manage to do this. We can manage to eat a little bit less. We can manage to save a little bit. We can manage to ask our friends. And then I was also inspired by the consistent media work that was happening, a significant work, including by yourself, including by His Voice of America, and also yourself as an individual. And that consistency, I felt that we needed to respond. I was also feeling that our embassy in Kuwait needs recognition.
That was Nyaradzai Kumbonjanda, head of the Young Women's Christian Association International, speaking with Studio 7 from Geneva, Switzerland.
Coming up,
don't miss our youth show, Time to Engage, in which we're featuring a member of Buy Zimbabwe.
And handlers of boxer Charles Manyuchi looking for sponsors of a local match featuring a Zimbabwean-born champion.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Brazil's interim president, Michel Temer, begins his new administration today as hundreds of supporters of his beleaguered predecessor continue street demonstrations and regional leaders denounce the Senate's vote for an impeachment trial as a literal coup.
Thousands of South African miners were given the green light today by their High Court to pursue a multi-million dollar class action lawsuit against mining companies for respiratory illnesses contracted at work.
And family and friends are mourning the death of the world's oldest person who passed away yesterday night in Brooklyn, New York. Susanna Mushat Jones died at the senior citizens' home where she lived at the age of 116, said Robert Young of the research group which maintains a database of the world's longest living people.
Hello. Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chiona Sojani on Time to Engage. Today we have a very special guest, Chief Economist Kipson Gundani for Buy Zimbabwe. Hi, Kipson.
Hi, Chiona.
As the Chief Economist, what are your views right now concerning the introduction of the bond notes?
We're a country that is experiencing a lot of cash leakages as a result of the high import burden and also as a result of what we can term illicit financial access.
We have all these young people who are enterprising and starting their businesses. What then is the impact of these bond notes in terms of businesses?
The immediate impact of the bond notes is that it will help ease the liquidity issues that are affecting Zimbabwe right now. Because as you see, over the past month or week, they have been seeing queues at the bank, queuing for cash, so there were cash shortages. So what the bond note does, because they can only circulate within Zimbabwe, they will limit from the economy. But what I see happening is that this war issue was poorly communicated, and it has caused what I can call a bank run, or it has aroused a mistrust among the young people and the transacting public.
What can you tell us in terms of the equivalence of the bond to the US dollar?
These bond notes are backed by $200 million facility provided by the Africa Economic Bank. So because of that backing, you find that they will be able to maintain a 1-to-1 value. One thing which you need to appreciate is that bond notes are not a currency per se, but they are a representation of value. They are a token of value.
How do we liquidate the bonds when right now there is no money circulating in the economy?
The Zimbabwean economy, as it is right now, requires $220 million in actual cash for it to sustain itself. We are a very small country with a deposit base of about 4 to 5 billion, and with the $220 million, according to official statistics available now, we should be able to sustain and liquidify the economy.
How can the youth transition into this era that they are going into of bond notes?
Unfortunately, the Zimbabwean youth are the hardest to see by the economic balance, and they are disempowered. They are in the sense that they have limited access, meaningful resources to emancipate themselves. Economies thrive on confidence, and this is a call, particularly to the authorities that govern the Zimbabwean economy.
Thank you, Hugh. And that was Kipson Gundani, Chief Economist of Buy Zimbabwe, and I am Chiona Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
Thank you so much, Chioniso.
And in sports news, Zambian handlers of Charles Manucci are keen to stage the World Boxing Council's Welterweight Silver Belt title holder next fight in Zimbabwe, on condition that there is a sponsor for the match. Our reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
The 9th-ranked World Boxing Council welterweight boxer has never fought in his homeland since turning professional in 2009, and has instead fought all his home bouts in neighboring Zambia under Oriental Boxing Promotions. However, the boxer's Zambian manager and promoter Christopher Maluna has revealed that they've approached the Zimbabwean authorities to have the World Boxing Council Silver Belt title holder defend his world championship in Zimbabwe.
He has won the WBC Silver now. We are trying to defend it, and I feel that it is very important. I raised issues with the Honorable Minister that we have to work together to make sure that Manucci defends the title here in Zimbabwe.
Manucci has a 5-year contract to fight in Zambia, and Maluna says the Minister of Sport and Recreation, Makosini Hlongwane, has received with enthusiasm the offer for the boxer to fight in Zimbabwe for the first time.
The Minister is willing to make sure that that is done.
However, Maluna says the fight will only be on condition that Zimbabwe raises the close to $150,000, or else this bout will not take place in the country after all. But renowned boxing promoter Stalin Maumau believes such a fight will remain a dream to Zimbabwe due to the current harsh economic environment in the country. He says boxing is almost viewed as a charity venture in Zimbabwe.
It is the economy, right, which does not attract charity, you know, contributions. You're not going to be easily charitable when the economy is melting down. So really, when the economy rises or is raised from its slumber, definitely you'll find that we will continue pouring our resources into the promotion of boxing.
For the past 10 years, Zimbabwe has failed to host an international boxing fight, while local tournaments have also disappeared due to the economic situation. The chairman of the Zimbabwe Boxing Board of Control, Paul Nenjerama, could not be reached for comment. Maruna says a number of boxing managers have been knocking on their door with the view of challenging Manucci for his newly won crown, but they are not rushing into any deals.
Automatically, big promoters are coming on board to try and challenge our boxer. That is one of the things, but we have to be very conscious and careful, because you can rush the boy into before he's prepared, and you end up losing even what you're supposed to be reaping.
Manucci is supposed to make his first mandatory title defense after 3 months. The Mashingo-born boxer found himself ninth in the world after he outclassed Russia's Dmitry Mikhalenko to win the World Boxing Council welterweight silver title belt, left vacant by Britain's Amir Khan. Manucci himself has paid tribute to his Zambian handlers, saying they did everything they could to ensure that he won the silver medal, which has put him close to a crack at the WBC gold title.
The preparation was so good. Was the manager, the trainer, they took me 2 months in the camp, and I was ready for the fight. We win as a team. Corinto Quarry's boxing promotion, we are the best.
Before his fight against Mikhalenko, Manucci was 14th on the WBC world rankings. In soccer news, Dynamos will begin their new life without coach George Silva, who was sacked yesterday with a tough assignment against unbeaten FC Platinum at Rufaro Stadium on Sunday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Song from Ilanga coming to you from Studio 7.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Illegal foreign currency dealers say proposed bond notes are likely to boost their shady business.
Zimbabwe's central bank governor says Zimbabwe is being used by some companies as a hunting ground for the United States dollar.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts, Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube, will be talking with listeners and experts about corruption in Zimbabwe, which is said to be devastating the public and private sectors.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Jonga Kandemire.
And our marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.